Welcome to the podcast series of Middle East and Africa Textile Journal.
Thank you. Yeah, it's great to be here. So if you are sitting in a new electric vehicle right now, you aren't just sitting in a car. You're actually strapped inside a highly engineered multi-billion-dollar wearable device.
Yeah, and today we're basically tossing that cozy, folded cotton t-shirt idea of textiles completely out the window.
Right, because the materials we're looking at today are, well, they're the hidden high-tech scaffolding of modern life.
It's an entirely invisible world, but once you understand how it works, you realize you're literally surrounded by it every single second.
Exactly. So our mission for this deep dive is to explore how this supposedly traditional industry, textiles, is actually driving the very bleeding edge of automobiles, healthcare, and global infrastructure.
And we've got our hands on a really detailed industry briefing and roadmap surrounding the upcoming Sintatectil China event.
Right, which is scheduled for September 1st through the 3rd, 2026, over in Shanghai.
Yeah, and this specific briefing is essentially a blueprint. It charts exactly where global manufacturing, material science, and supply chain logistics are heading over the next decade.
And for you listening, whether you're driving to work or looking at modern medical equipment in a hospital or just walking through a newly constructed building, you are interacting with these invisible innovations. We're going to decode the unseen materials shaping your everyday life.
Because it really is everywhere.
It is. So I'm looking at this briefing, and the sheer economic scale of this invisible boom is just wild. I mean, usually you think of textiles as a mature, sort of slow-moving industry.
Right, like looms and sewing machines.
Yeah, exactly. But the numbers coming out of early 2026 tell a completely different story.
They absolutely do. The data from China Customs for just the first 2 months of 2026, so January and February, shows the export value for this sector hitting $7.7 billion.
Wait, 7.7 billion in just 8 weeks?
Correct. That represents a 17.7% year-over-year increase. And the briefing explicitly notes that this growth occurred despite what they call a complex external environment.
Which is usually just corporate speak for global supply chain friction, right? Like
Yeah.
changing trade dynamics or major economic headwinds.
Precisely. To see nearly 18% growth when the broader global economy is facing all that friction, it tells you something fundamental has shifted.
Yeah, you only see that kind of resilient, gravity-defying surge when an industry transitions from producing a basic commodity to like producing an absolute irreplaceable necessity.
Exactly. And that transition brings us to the terminology used in this briefing, because nobody in this industry is just calling this stuff fabric anymore.
Right, they have this highly specific jargon that categorizes everything into these futuristic sounding subsectors. We've got medtech for medical applications, protech for protective gear, indutech for industrial uses.
Build tech for building and construction, and mobile tech for automotive and transport.
Yeah, it's as if traditional fabric got a textiles 2.0 patch,
Yeah.
upgrading from a simple thread to these engineered structural components.
That's a great way to put it. The terminology reflects this massive push for tech and quality upgrades. Industries have essentially reached the physical limits of traditional materials like steel, aluminum, and hard plastics.
So wait, why is this happening right now, though? Like, what is driving this sudden, massive acceleration in these heavily engineered materials?
Well, it comes down to weight, strength, and adaptability. And you can see this with the key Chinese exhibitors driving things forward right now. Companies like Donson's New Material, Picanol NV, and Zhejiang Jinda Coating.
Right, they're the ones actually making this leap happen.
Yeah. Advanced manufacturing requires materials that can perform highly specific microscopic tasks that, say, a sheet of aluminum simply cannot do. It's no longer about making a product cheaper, it's about making it capable of entirely new functions.
Okay, I want to focus on one specific category here because I think it perfectly illustrates this textiles 2.0 upgrade, especially in a product most of you listening interact with daily. Let's talk about mobile tech, the automotive sector.
Oh, mobile tech is a fascinating case study. In the context of the upcoming Shanghai Fair, this sector is housed in Hall W4, and the roadmap makes it abundantly clear that this is a top priority for global buyers.
And looking at the list, when we're talking about small niche brands here, the buyers flocking to this space are absolute heavyweights.
Yeah, the big players.
The briefing lists: Hyosung, Hyundai, Li Auto, Mazda, SAIC, GM, SAIC, Volkswagen, Tesla, and Zeekr. I mean, they are pouring resources into automotive textiles.
They have to, honestly. The market demands it.
But here's my confusion. The briefing spotlights a key exhibitor, Shanghai Shenda, and it lists what they make. It's automotive carpets, headliners, trunks, parcel shells, wheel arch liners, and dash insulators.
Right.
Honestly, that sounds incredibly mundane. Why are the biggest electric vehicle manufacturers in the world throwing billions of dollars at, well, carpets and parcel shelves?
To understand that, you really have to look at the physics of a new energy vehicle, or NEV. The shift to electric vehicles is entirely rewriting the rule book for automotive materials, primarily because of two massive challenges: weight and acoustics.
Okay, let's start with weight. Batteries are incredibly heavy, so every ounce matters.
Exactly. Lightweighting is the holy grail of electric vehicle design. Every single gram you can shave off the interior directly translates to increased driving range.
Wow, okay.
You can't make the battery lighter yet, so you have to make the rest of the car lighter.
So replacing a hard plastic parcel shelf or a metal trunk lining with a highly engineered rigid textile actually buys you miles on the highway.
Yes, it really does. By using advanced composite textiles materials that blend structural fibers with specialized resins, you can achieve the exact same rigidity and safety profile as metal or hard plastic, but at a fraction of the weight.
That's incredible.
But the second challenge, acoustics, is where these textiles perform a function that plastic simply cannot mimic.
Because electric cars are silent.
Well, internal combustion engines are basically giant noise machines.
Yeah.
That roaring engine actually masks a massive amount of environmental noise. You know, the wind shearing against the glass, the tires humming against the asphalt, the suspension rattling.
Oh, right.
When you remove that engine and replace it with a nearly silent electric motor, suddenly the cabin sounds terrible. You hear every single pebble.
I literally never thought about that. The gas engine was essentially functioning as white noise for the whole car.
Exactly. So companies like Shanghai Shenda are tasked with creating incredibly advanced acoustic components. Dash insulators and wheel arch liners are no longer just aesthetic covers. They are made from specialized non-woven textiles engineered to absorb sound frequencies dynamically.
Wait, how does a fabric absorb sound dynamically? Are we just talking about like thick padding?
No, it's much more sophisticated than padding. Imagine millions of microscopic pockets of air tangled within a web of fibers.
Okay.
When a sound wave hits a hard plastic door panel, it bounces directly into your ear. But when that same sound wave hits an engineered non-woven textile, the wave gets trapped in that microscopic labyrinth.
Oh, wow.
The acoustic energy actually dissipates as tiny, imperceptible amounts of heat. They were literally tuning the acoustics of the cabin using the microscopic geometry of the fabric.
That is wild. And the briefing also mentions smart sensing fabrics alongside these lightweight composites. We're talking about textiles woven with conductive threads that can sense pressure, temperature, or even biometric data.
Yeah, the integration of sensors is huge right now.
So with all of this taking over the interior, at what point do we stop saying we're driving a car and start saying we're wearing it? I mean, it sounds like we're just strapping into a giant drivable high-tech sneaker.
It is a highly accurate comparison, honestly. The car interior is transitioning from a static container into a responsive, wearable environment.
But if I'm a massive company like Tesla or Volkswagen trying to build this drivable sneaker, how are they getting all these hyper-specific parts? Human logistics can't just spawn this out of nowhere.
No, definitely not.
Outfitting all these global brands requires a massive integrated supply chain, which kind of brings us to the international ecosystem converging at this Shanghai Fair.
The interreliance of this industry is deeply complex, and the fair acts as a physical nexus for that global web.
Looking at the data, it says Europe remains China's premier source for technical textiles. Europe captured a 26% share of China's import value in 2025.
That's a massive chunk.
Yeah. Over a quarter of the imports are coming from Europe to feed this manufacturing engine. The fair even has an entire overseas zone dedicated to this in Hall W5, featuring German and European companies catering to buyers who need absolute premium high-tech solutions.
Right, and this is where you find the foundational technology, the tools and machinery that make all these futuristic fabrics possible in the first place.
Yes, and the perfect example from the briefing is a featured participant called Groesbeckert.
Oh, they are essential.
Yeah, they're described as the world's leading provider of industrial machine needles, precision parts, fine tools and systems. They serve everything, like knitting, weaving, tufting, sewing, spinning, non-woven. But I have to admit, as a layman, I am stuck on the word needles.
Mm-hmm.
Why does a multi-billion-dollar technical textile industry care so much about needles? It's like the picks and shovels of the trade, right?
Yeah.
Can't a heavy-duty sewing machine just do the job?
Well, we aren't sewing denim or cotton here. These manufacturing machines are punching through layers of dense carbon fiber, conductive metallic threads, and thick acoustic polymers, often at thousands of strikes per minute.
Right.
If you used a standard industrial needle, the friction would cause it to heat up, warp, or just snap instantly.
Oh, so it's a physics problem at the microscopic level.
Entirely. Grose Beckert engineers microscopic geometries into their needles so they can pierce dense composite materials without severing the delicate structural fibers or conductive threads within the fabric.
Wow, so if the needle breaks,
the entire automated assembly line stops.
Hmm.
So while everyone else is showing off the shiny final product, you know, the smart sensing car seat Grose Beckert is providing the literal microscopic precision tools that make it physically possible to assemble.
It's the ultimate behind-the-scenes leverage. And the European precision doesn't stop with needles. The briefing highlights Swiss Stuhl, located in Qingdao, but owned by Swiss Stuhl AG.
Right, the Swiss parent company.
Yeah, they use advanced Karl Mayer and Bruckner machinery, along with imported raw materials, to make bespoke tool for high-end lingerie, home textiles, and auto sunshades. Again, help me visualize this. Tool is like what a ballerina's tutu is made of. How does that translate to an auto sunshade?
It comes down to dimensional stability and precise knit structures. An auto sunshade has to be stretched repeatedly, it has to block highly specific UV wavelengths, and it has to do all of this in a car interior that might reach 140 degrees Fahrenheit in the summer.
And it has to do that without ever sagging or losing its shape.
Exactly. Achieving that requires specialized German knitting machinery like those Karl Mayer systems that can control the tension of every single thread at a microscopic level during production.
And this global web stretches to India, too. The Non-Woven Federation of India, or NWFI, is heavily involved, representing their spunbond non-woven fabric manufacturers.
Yes, India is a major player in that space.
There's actually a great quote from their networking event. Mrs. R. Lalitha, the Commissioner of Textiles for Tamil Nadu in India, said the fair's focus on Indutech, mobile tech, and medtech perfectly aligns with Tamil Nadu's automotive and medical textile strengths. She called the fair the place that captures, quote, where the future of textiles lies.
It's a very accurate assessment.
But wait, you mentioned non-wovens earlier regarding the acoustic dampening.
Yeah.
What exactly is a spun bond non-woven? Like, I know how weaving works, threads going over and under each other on a loom. But how do you make a fabric without weaving it? Is it like a 3D printer for threads?
A 3D printer is a good conceptual starting point, but I actually like to compare spun bond technology to a highly engineered cotton candy machine.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Walk me through that.
So instead of taking pre-made yarn and weaving it together, a spun bond machine takes raw, melted polymer, basically plastic, and extrudes it through thousands of tiny nozzles. It blows continuous random filaments onto a moving conveyor belt, and then immediately bonds them together using heat and pressure.
Wait, so there's no thread, no loom, just liquid plastic spun directly into a fabric web?
Exactly. Because the fibers are bonded in a random multidirectional web rather than a rigid over-under grid, you get a completely seamless material that is incredibly strong in all directions.
That makes a lot of sense.
And it is highly efficient to produce, which is why Indian manufacturers excel at scaling this up for things like medical protective gear and automotive acoustics.
You're describing this beautiful, intricate ecosystem of excellence. We have microscopic German needles, precision European machinery knitting sunshades, Indian spun bond fabrics acting as the acoustic base, and massive Chinese manufacturing scale assembling it all into a Tesla.
It really is a marvel of logistics.
But I have to challenge this model. Didn't the pandemic just teach us that hyper-specialized global supply chains are incredibly fragile? I mean, if one cargo ship gets stuck in a canal or one port shuts down, the factory in Shanghai suddenly can't make car seats because they're out of precision needles. How is this level of hyper-specialization not a massive, catastrophic vulnerability?
Oh, it is absolutely a vulnerability, and it is a risk that keeps supply chain managers awake at night. That complex external environment mentioned in the early 2026 data, that's a direct reference to that exact fragility. However, industries have basically decided it's a necessary risk.
Why, though? Why not just build the needles and the spun bond machines next door to the car factory?
Because the physics demand hyper-specialization. The level of engineering required to create a needle that won't snap at 2,000 RPM while punching through carbon fiber, or a machine that can perfectly tension a sunshade to withstand 140 degrees. It's so intensely difficult that no single country, let alone a single company, can realistically master every single step of the pipeline.
Right. It requires decades of isolated R&D.
Exactly. The global web is fragile, yes, but it is the only way to achieve the technological performance that a modern electric vehicle or a modern medical device requires.
So the physical logistics are basically a tightrope walk, which makes sense why a single trade fair in Shanghai becomes this crucial convergence point. Everybody has to physically get into the same room to make sure their highly specific puzzle pieces actually fit together.
Yeah, you need that physical nexus.
But if the physical logistics are that precarious, human beings can't possibly coordinate all of this manually anymore.
No, and that brings us to the abstract forces that are going to dictate this industry's next decade: computational optimization and ecological mandates.
Let's get into that, because the Sinte Tech Textile China Fair has this fringe program that charts a definitive roadmap based on four pillars: industry insights, AI, innovation, and sustainability.
Yes, the four pillars are critical.
The industry insights pillar features the China International Nonwovens Conference and these end-use guided tours. And innovation showcases forward-thinking solutions from international and domestic textile students, which, you know, brings fresh blood into the pipeline.
Right.
But the two pillars that really stand out to me are AI and sustainability. In the AI pillar, experts are sharing advanced models that empower textile manufacturing.
Is the AI just tracking the shipping containers to fix the supply chain fragility we just talked about?
Well, managing the supply chain logistics is a massive part of it, yes. But AI's role in technical textiles goes much deeper than tracking ships.
Yeah.
AI models are actually now being deployed to design the microscopic structure of the fabrics themselves.
Wait, the AI is designing the weave?
Yes. Before a single physical thread is produced, an AI can run millions of stress test simulations on digital models.
Wow.
If Zeekr or Liano needs a new door panel that is 10% lighter but still hits maximum acoustic dampening and crash safety ratings, human engineers could spend years testing combinations.
But an AI can just run the numbers. Exactly. An AI can calculate the exact combination of polymer resins, the specific fiber tension, and the precise geometry required to achieve that. And it can do it in days.
So they are essentially simulating the physical world to optimize the material before it even exists.
The physical manufacturing is rapidly becoming just the final output of a massive digital calculation.
That is mind-bending. The fabric of our lives is quite literally a computation. And that calculation has to factor in the final pillar of this roadmap: sustainability.
Right, the ecological mandate.
The fair features these Econogy tours, where buyers connect directly with exhibitors who have passed what they call the Econogy check. This is so they can view eco-friendly materials and sustainable production. And this spans 12 application areas covering the entire pipeline in Hall W5, from upstream raw materials down to finished fabrics and textile chemicals and dyes.
It's a very comprehensive check.
Yeah, I look at this Econogy check kind of like a verified blue check mark for eco-friendly manufacturing, basically to prevent greenwashing. But how do they actually achieve this sustainability? Is it just slapping a recycling symbol on a chemical vat?
No, it is far more rigorous than a marketing label. Major global brands have incredibly strict environmental, social, and governance mandates, ESG mandates, that they are legally required to meet. To pass something like the Econogy check, especially in the chemicals and dye sector, factories have to prove molecular reality.
Wait, what does molecular reality mean in a factory setting?
It means implementing closed-loop water systems where not a single drop of toxic dye enters the local water table. It means replacing petroleum-based chemical binders with advanced bioresins.
Okay, that's serious.
And it means designing technical textiles for chemical recycling. So at the end of the car's life, the acoustic liner can be dissolved and spun back into virgin quality fiber rather than sitting in a landfill for 1,000 years. The Econogy check verifies that the entire life cycle of the material is ecologically accountable.
So we have AI simulating millions of microscopic thread patterns to optimize for strength and weight, while simultaneously calculating how to use bioresins and closed-loop water systems just to pass the Econogy check.
It's an incredible balancing act.
The level of engineering happening behind the scenes is just staggering. As we wrap up this deep dive into the 2026 Sinte Tech Textile China Roadmap, can you synthesize the journey we've just been on?
Absolutely. We started by looking at a massive $7.7 billion export boom that defies global economic friction, driven by industries hitting the limits of traditional materials.
Right.
We explored how technical textiles have evolved into highly engineered components like the lightweight composites and acoustic sound trapping labyrinths reshaping electric vehicles. We examined the incredibly delicate but necessary global ecosystem of excellence, from Indian spun bond extrusion to the microscopic precision of German needles.
The picks and shovel.
Exactly. And finally, we saw how artificial intelligence and rigorous sustainability metrics are fundamentally computing the future of these materials.
So, for you listening, the takeaway here is to start noticing the unseen. The next time you pull down the sunshade in your car, or step into an energy-efficient hospital, or see a first responder wearing advanced protective gear, take a pause.
You're looking at the future in plain sight.
Yeah. Appreciate the invisible, high-tech web of global innovation, advanced material science, and computational engineering that is seamlessly holding that exact moment together. It's not just fabric. It's the highly engineered scaffolding of the modern world.
It is a hidden universe of precision that makes our current standard of living possible.
It truly is. And it leaves me with one final lingering question for you to ponder. We started by tossing out the idea of textiles just being the static clothes hanging in your closet. But if our everyday environments, our cars, our protective gear, our architecture are increasingly woven from smart sensing fabrics, and those fabrics are managed by AI optimizing their performance in real time, how long until the physical materials we live inside stop being just objects and become an interactive extension of our own nervous systems, capable of responding to our needs before we even realize we have them?